When I was younger, I used to go to my granddad's and work in the pulpwood. And in doing that, I was always amazed at how hard a worker my granddad was. And I remember one time I told him, I said, "I can't believe it, Granddad, at your age, how hard you work." And he said, "Billy, it's not hard work that kills people. It's the fear of hard work that kills them." God worked 6 days, creating this marvelous, beautiful world that you and I live in. And then he rested on the seventh day. Do you know that God is a God you can count on? That there isn't anyone who has accomplished and can accomplish any work in which he has started more so than what God can. The wise man is he who built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Point is, they worked in building. Building your life is work. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. James says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Your trust in God becomes the foundation upon which you build your life. Your trust in God is the element. That is the foundation upon which you. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing from the Word of God. Jesus says, "He that hears these words of mine and does them is the wise man that builds his life on a rock." And we know that rock is Christ, being and putting our faith in Him. In our text this morning, it said simply this. In the 23rd verse, we want to build on this. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." That means you can count on Him. God is a faithful God. He keeps His promises. You can be assured of that, no matter what. And how many times do we tell other people, you need to trust in God? You need to put your trust in God. You need to put your trust in God. It's interesting, isn't it? On our money, it says, "In God we trust." Trusting God isn't automatic, however, is it? Is it? No. I think one learns over a process of time as they grow up in the degree of their relationship with God and seeing God work and having Him substantiate His faithfulness, that we begin to grow in our faith and our trusting and getting to a point where we just put it all in His hand and say, "We trust You, God. We can count on You." You can count on God. Believing that God is the God you can count on is the element that is sufficient for your belief and for your life as a Christian. That He is faithful, that has promised, that is the foundation of every one of our spiritual lives. What Satan does is cause you to doubt. He wants you to doubt God and what God is capable of doing in your personal, individual life. And it is individual. Work out your own salvation. It is an individual relationship that you have with God, that I have with God. But in Philippians, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 6, Philippians 1, 6, and Paul says, "For I am confident." Paul uses the word confident over 27 times. "I am confident that when this earthly temple is dissolved, we have one built by God, not by human hand, but one eternal in the heaven." I am confident, fully persuaded, no doubt. I am confident. "I am confident," he says, "of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, God's work then in our personal lives will not be completed until the day that Jesus comes. Why is that? Because there's still the redeeming of our earthly bodies, the redemption of our body. There's still the transformation from the perishable to the imperishable. There is still the fact that when you see Him, you'll become like Him. That's still in God's plan, and God is the only one that's going to perform that work and transforming you and giving you a glorified body. And so God is at work in us, there's no doubt about it, and He is at work in you, and He is perfecting it. God is a perfect God that you can count on. Now, does that sound like one you can count on? Can you count on this? Can you count on God? There are three reasons why we should be able to actually come to counting on God. okay? Three of them. One is, the Bible tells us that God is perfect love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, God is love. Perfect love. Okay? That means that He perfectly loves you. There's no imperfections in God. He is holy. He cannot lie. He's a God that keeps His promise. He is faithful. And therefore, as He loves you, you can count on Him. You can count on Him. Because He is perfect love, He does and has only in mind what is best for you. Right? The Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that all good things and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of light, and there's no shadow or variation or turning with Him. God is the same yesterday, today, will be tomorrow. You can count on that. That's where your security of your faith comes from, is believing in an immortal God, immortality. He not change. He doesn't change. He's immutable. He's the same always. You can count on that. Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Now listen to that. We are His workmanship. Did God ever do anything that wasn't perfect? Complete. Whole. The universe substantiates an unbelieving, perfect designer who created it to function in complete harmony. Your body, how marvelously and wonderfully you are made. And that is indeed a design that only anyone with any intelligence could look at and know there had to be a designer, an intelligent designer. And that workmanship that you and I see in the world today, and the aspects of it, this God is at work in you. And He is the one, if He created the universe and He created our body, then is there any way that you could doubt He's able to create you and make you complete, whole, perfect in your personal life? And because He is perfect love, that's what He has in mind for you. God's perfect love is that if you really trust Him and you put your life into His hand, He's going to complete you and complete His plan and His work in your personal life. God is at work in you personally. God isn't wound this world up like an alarm clock and waiting for the alarm to go off. God is at work in every aspect of your life, and He is capable of working all things together for your good if you love Him and called according to His purpose. God is involved in your life. Why? Because He's perfect love. He loves you. He didn't send His Son just to die on the cross. He sent His Son to die on the cross so He could begin a great work. And that work is creating a new people in His own image to walk on the face of the earth, known as the body of Christ, which you and I are, over which Christ is the head. God is at work, and that work is because of His perfect love. Can you count on that? Can you count on God's love for you? If He gave His Son, then why wouldn't He demonstrate that love to you daily? Don't question Him. God is perfect love. Secondly, God is infinite wisdom. Isn't that true? You know? So if God loves us and desires only the best for us, would He not also then place us in together into a unit, a body, a position where you and I could be sharing together and that we would be serving Him and working together with one another in that perfect love? In fact, Galatians 5:13 says, through love, serve one another. So God's wisdom is that He has given us, through the Holy Spirit, shed abroad into your heart and my heart, His perfect love. So that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, such a, okay? And then he placed us into this unbelieving, loving body of Christ known as the church. The church is not an human organization. It is a spiritual organism that is functioning through the intimate power of the love of God that flows into the hearts of His people and to be shed abroad and seen by those who don't know God, who can't see Him. You and I are a letter of Christ that is to be known and read of men, and the letter should be captioned with love. Love. Perfect love. You see, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. God has fit us together. God placed you in the body of Christ exactly where He wanted you, as a member of the body of Christ, the church. Many members, one body, over which He is head over all things to the church. God in His wisdom placed you exactly where He wanted you to do His work. Some He placed as the eye, some the ear, some the nose. Can you imagine what it would be like if the whole church was one gigantic eye? And every Sunday we'd roll down the aisle as one big eye. Well, that's the way a lot of people live their lives, as one big eye. Right? It's destroyed a lot of churches, you know that? One big eye. The church doesn't evolve around any one member. It takes many members to do the work of the body. And everyone has been placed in the body by God Himself, fitly joined by His wisdom, where you best can serve Him. Ephesians 4:16, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus again. Paul says, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the power or the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Well, I don't know about you, but if I hadn't spent any time building a relationship with my wife, Marilyn, I doubt very much if I'd come to love her. There's no way you're going to get to love me unless you get to know me. We interact, we share, and grow together, and we start helping, meeting one another's needs, and that's how you fall in love with people. Okay? Understand what I'm saying? And God infinitely in His wisdom built and gave us a body of Christ, the church, in order that we could build and fit together. But it takes every joint supplying. You're a unique part of the body of Christ, and you're like a joint. Every individual part doing its work. How would you like to have a body that all of a sudden a certain part of your body said, I'm not working anymore? I remember when my mother was at a point of going to be with the Lord, and the doctor simply said that this is what is going to happen. One part of her body was just going to quit functioning. Whether it be the heart, whether it be that, he said that's what's going to happen. It's just going to wear out. Well, it did. How many churches have died today because certain members of that body quit working, quit functioning? Quit actively supplying to the body what that body needed in order to build up itself in love. The wise man built. It takes work to build the body of Christ. That work is undergirded and foundational in the fact that we believe in a God who we can count on. And that God is building us and creating us and helping us and so on. So the picture of His wisdom is this. Every joint supplies and every part is working. Lastly, thirdly, God is sovereign in His complete control. If God is all power and He's sovereign, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere, can't you count on Him? Can't you really demand? You see, there's nothing hidden from God's eyes. He sees everything. He sees a bird when it falls, a sparrow. He sees a hare when it falls, every aspect of it. That's how much God cares for you. Bible says, cast all your anxiety, your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. You can count on Him. You can count on Him. Nothing can undo the personal power of God and His will. God's will is going to be done. We can count on God because His power is absolute. We can place our lives in His hands and we can trust Him. That He will create us and mold us and make us into whom He desires us to become as a part of His body. Philippians 2:13, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." What did he say? He said, "It is God." Who? God. What is He doing? He's at work in you. Where is He at work? In us. What's He doing? He's working to do and accomplish His will and His good pleasure. Can you count on Him? I mean, whose will do you want done in your life? Yours or His? What's more important than any aspect of it? And if God's good pleasure, I mean, why did God create all that He created on the face of the earth? Didn't He create it for us? For our good pleasure? So that we have food, clothing, and all the necessities of life and enjoy this world in which He created? I mean, come on. If you took sin out of the world, it'd be a beautiful world. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you and I are God, and God is at work in us. We can count on Him, and you and I can know that God is going to be faithful to the end. Now, you don't necessarily have to, but there's a song that was written that really, in essence, is like a prayer song. And so you might consider this as a prayer that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. And it simply says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse at Thy love." At the impulse of Your love. God, because of Your infinite wisdom, because You're an all-wise God, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for You. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King. And God, because of Your sovereign power, take my will and make it Thine. It shall no longer be mine. Take my heart, it is Thy own. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne. God, because Your love, move me by the impulse of Your love. God, because You are wise, take my feet, take my life, take my tongue, take everything I am, and always only let it be in service of my King. God, because Your infinite power, You're sovereign God, put Your Spirit on the throne of my life. You are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. When the Second World War ended, many of the GIs were waiting to come back home, and in such, some of the cities over there had been devastated. And in Berlin, they had just literally, I mean, the city was literally destroyed. Some of these GIs, while they were there, out of the graciousness of their hearts, offered to help rebuild the city. But the leaders of the city refused to allow them to do that. But they kept asking, and finally one of the mayor of the city said, "Well, in the town square there was a statue of Jesus, and if you want, you can rebuild it." And so they went to work, and they found this part and that part, and kept building it and building it and building it. And they were able to find every part of the body except the hands. So when it came to have it all done and there was going to be an unveiling, they unveiled this statue of Jesus in the town square, perfectly put together by these soldiers, but there were no hands. And so they wrote an inscription on this statue. It just simply said, "I have no hands. Will you please loan me yours?" You see, Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring men to His side. See, if you and I are going to work for the Lord, it's a volunteer work. You understand what I just said? God, out of His love and His compassion and His sovereignty and wisdom and power, demonstrated His love to you and me. Jesus voluntarily went to a cross for you and me. And if you and I are going to be the children of God, the people that God desires, then you and I are going to volunteer to be used of God. A volunteer for Jesus. A soldier, true. Others have enlisted. How about you? Jesus is the captain. We can never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your work of love. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your power. Thank you, God, for all you're accomplishing in each one of our individual lives. God, help us to put ourselves into your hands, to count on you, to find indeed your faithfulness, that you're able to accomplish all that you have promised that you would. Accomplish your work in us, Lord. We want to be your workmanship. Create us into the image of your Son. Make us Christ-like. Fill us with your Spirit that we could be a people fitted, supplying, building up this body in love. That those who know us, share with us, and walk with us will be able to see and know the love of God. Thank you for each one that's here today. I pray your blessings on each of our lives and pray that your Spirit has spoke to us and convicted us that we would indeed become those volunteers that want to do the work of God in the life you've given us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.